You are listening to the official podcast of Journey of Life Church in Orlando, Florida. Visit us on the internet at journeyoflife.org.
So we've been doing these end of the year, end of the church year parables. The church has a year, just like the calendar year, except it goes from roughly the beginning of December through the end of November, and it starts with Advent, which starts with the beginning of the world, and goes through Christmas, birth of Christ, and then we have the time of Christ being alive, that's Epiphany, and then we have Lent and Easter, and then we have Ascension and Pentecost, and then the rest of the church here is the season of Pentecost, which is the season we're in now, the season of the people, and so we kind of think more about those things, and then now we're on the last Sunday in the church year. So today is Judgment Sunday, or the Sunday of the fulfillment, depending on your perspective. So the last three Sundays, we've been doing these readings, right? We did the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. If you remember that, the bridesmaids were waiting for the groom to show up. And they were supposed to have lamps and oil and stuff. And five of them were ready, and five of them weren't. The groom was delayed in coming, but when he came, finally, five of them had enough oil to go to the wedding party, and five of them didn't, and they didn't get to go in. So there was this delay and the final return of the groom. The same thing with the parable of talents. Do you remember? The master gave three different servants sums of money. That's what talent is, right, if you remember. But with a talent, you could hire a day laborer for 20 years, or you could hire 20 laborers for 1 year. And so different men got different amounts of talents, and then they were supposed to go out and use them, and one didn't do that because he didn't believe what the master believed about him. The master believed he could do it, but he didn't believe he could do it. So he went and buried his talent. And then the master was delayed and finally came back. And there was that reckoning. And then today we have this final reckoning, the very final reckoning of the whole thing, this parable of the sheep and the goats. And I will tell you, when I read this parable, I am terrified. I picture myself in the story. And you're walking up to the throne, and you don't know whether you're a sheep or a goat. And the consequences are serious of being a sheep or a goat, right? And so when I look at this parable, I get a little scared. And the first thing I do when I look at the parable is I start looking at my life. And I'm going, okay, wait, naked and in prison and sick. And okay, let me start thinking about, okay, wait, let me check my calendar. See what I've been doing, and things like that. And so it causes me to look at my life, and that's good. But the thing that we need to keep in mind with this parable is the way it causes us to look at our life. Because there's a way that's right and a way that's wrong. And if you look at this parable, and you start making lists, and you start thinking about, well, how many naked people have I clothed? How many sick people have I visited? How many hungry people have I fed? How many thirsty people have I given a glass of water? You're reading it wrong. And that's what I'm going to explain to you today. Is if you start doing that, you are reading it wrong. And I'll tell you why. The clue is that nobody knows what they're doing. You remember in the parable, the guy on the throne tells the sheep, you did all this. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then he tells all the goats, you didn't do any of this. And they're like, what are you talking about? So there's something more here than just learning what you're supposed to do and doing it. There's more here than just shape up, knucklehead, and get it straight. What's going on here is something that most of us know instinctively, is that the inner condition of our souls shows itself in the way we live. The condition of our souls shows itself in the way we live. And so here we have not a list. Make sure you go out and find at least one naked person, one thirsty person, one sick person, and one prisoner each week to visit so that you can be a sheep at the last judgment. That would be totally reading it wrong. What we have here is just a description of the way that people live. And it comes out of the inside. That's why if you start like making lists, you're going at it wrong. it's good to reflect on the parable, but it should cause you to reflect on your heart and your spirit. That's what Jesus said here. Matthew 15, they got into a discussion about cleanliness and uncleanliness, and the disciples ate without washing their hands, which is unsanitary, we know. But back then, it was a religious ritual. Washing, there was a ceremonial dipping, which meant that you had defiled hands until you washed them, and then you had ceremonially clean hands. And so Jesus did several things that did not follow the ceremonial laws of cleanliness to avoid defilement. And he was asked about, why do they eat with unwashed hands? And what they're saying is not why didn't they read the sign in the bathroom, which you have to wash your hands before returning to work. Why are they not following the ceremonial law that helps them avoid being defiled? And Jesus explains what really defiles someone, what shows that you are not walking with God. And he says this, don't you see that, and now he's talking about the kind of food we eat too, don't you see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled, so there's an anatomy lesson for those of you. And by the way, if you look underneath, expelled is a polite word. It says it drops into the latrine. That's what it actually says in the Greek. Or the chamber pot. So this is earthy Jesus. This is Jesus making food jokes. Don't you see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and goes out? It's what comes out of your mouth that comes from the heart. That is what defiles you. It's not whether you follow the laws, it's what comes out of your heart and into your life that shows whether God has got a hold of you or not. And so it is good to use this to reflect, but it's not good to use this to reflect in a way that makes you start keeping records and setting bound goals and stuff. So the Pharisees did that. The Pharisees thought a lot about the laws they were supposed to obey to please God. They took all that legal stuff very seriously, but Jesus pointed out to them that they had missed the entire boat by getting all, like, counting everything. Here's what he said. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! You tithe mint and dill and cumin. You neglected the weightier matters of the law. That's the teaching, not the rules. The Torah. You've neglected the weightier matters of the Torah, justice and mercy and faithfulness. You ought to have done that without neglecting the others. Also, kids here, do you know what mint and dill and cumin are? Anyone know? Yeah. Thanks, kids. Did I say anyone? Okay. Well, they're, you know, the spices your mom has in the kitchen? The Pharisees would go through there, and if they had a pile of mint leaves, they would go, and they're supposed to give 10% of everything, right? So they would go, and they would go, they've got 10 leaves, they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1 for God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1 for God. They were so serious about every rule, but they missed what was really supposed to be happening, what the Torah was all about, and what Jesus was all about, which is justice and mercy and faithfulness. And Jesus said, listen, you have got it backwards. You're like trying to clean the... Has anyone ever gone to your cupboard and you grab a cup that looks like it's been through the dishwasher, or maybe it has, and you go and you fill it up with water, or maybe you catch it before you fill it with water, and the inside, for some reason, didn't get clean when it went through the dishwasher? Anyone have that experience? Yes, you all have it. That's the experience that Jesus described for these people who are concentrated on the rules instead of on the inner life. He said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. A hypocrite is someone who wears a mask. It's an actor. You walk around acting. Acting, even acting like you're supposed to. That's where we're going with this. You are like painted tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So outwardly, you appear righteous to others, but within, you are full of hypocrisy. Can I read a couple? Sorry, you're going to have to forgive me. I missed the Bible. Okay, so we look at this parable, and it makes us look at our lives, and we start going, okay, how am I treating people? Now you're on the right track. If you start going, how many naked people have I clothed, how many sick people have I visited, you're on the wrong track. But if you start going, how am I treating people? How am I living my life? Now you're on the right track. Because if you, here's what it is. Your outward life is a reflection of your inner life. And if what you do is look at this and start making a chart to make sure you check off these four boxes once a week or once a month, you have missed it entirely. It's like this. Imagine, it's recently Thanksgiving, right? How many of you cooked a turkey? Anybody cook a turkey? Anybody cook a ham? All right? So, anybody use one of these before? Anybody ever use a kitchen thermometer, right? So, well, here's what I want you to imagine. Because, you've got that thermometer in the bird, and it's been going for a couple hours, or however long you think it's supposed to be, and you look at the thermometer, and it says 120. Now, what's that turkey supposed to be at? Yeah, 165, actually, right? I looked it up. I don't know that offhand, but it's basically 165, right? So you got it at 120, okay? And because that turkey's not what it's supposed to be, you pop the lens off your thermometer, and you push the needle over to 165, and you say, oh, there, now it's done. That would work well, wouldn't it? That's what it's like when you look at lists of works and you start going, oh, I need to check off all these boxes. You're completely missing the point. You're like trying to adjust the thermostat instead of cook the bird, because your outer life is a reflection of your inner life. Your outer life is a reflection of your inner life. The language that Jesus uses for this is fruit. He talks about good trees bear good fruit, and bad trees bear bad fruit. So, here's what I would suggest to you. If you look at your life, and you say, wow, you know, I'm not seeing what I want. I mean, okay, if I saw that banana on the counter, I'd say I'm not seeing what I want to see, right? Because I'm not going to eat that banana. So if you look at your life, and you're like, huh. You get to the end of the sermon, you're like, huh, maybe my life isn't what it's supposed to be. And you make a list, and you start doing things. I want to show you what Jesus says that's like. Because he said, we just read it, you are like painted tombs. You do all that outward stuff because you're like following all the rules, but you're missing the righteousness, the justice, the mercy, peace. So, what if I found a banana that I didn't like the way it looked? And I said to myself, well, that banana doesn't look very good. I'm just going to paint it yellow. Now that's looking better. Don't you think? Is that good? Oh, that's a good looking banana. Did someone say, what about the inside? You're the preacher for today. That's exactly my point. Well done. What about the inside, right? If I had an airbrush, I could make this into a pretty good-looking banana on the outside. So when you look at this, when we finish up this sermon, what I want to tell you... Okay, one thing I didn't plan on. That's fine. Oh, the best laid plans. That's all right. I'll wash my hands during that song. If you start making lists, you're missing the point. You're painting your fruit. If you start making lists, you're painting your fruit. Because it's not what you do, what you put into yourself, that defiles you, it's what comes out of your heart. That's what Jesus is getting at. You're like painted tombs. Don't paint your fruit. So what we have here, when we look at this parable, it's not like a list. It's not something you put onto a chart. It's a general description of the way people are living. Some people are living outward focused. Some people are living inward focused. Some people are living generous lives. Some people are living greedy lives. Some people see us and them. Some people see I'm one way and those other people are different. Other people see everybody as their brothers and sisters and treat them accordingly. The big word, if you want the word that's really underneath all this, it's compassion. That's the difference between the sheep and the goats. The difference between the sheep and the goats is compassion. Compassion means to suffer with. You let your heart be moved by the suffering of other people. That's what God says. He felt when he sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior. His heart was moved with compassion for us. And Jesus walked around on the earth being moved with compassion. I'm going to read you some verses, so I'm not going to put them up there. Mark 6, verse 34, when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began to teach them. Luke 7, verse 13, Jesus is walking into a town, and there's a funeral procession with a weeping mother. When the Lord saw her, Luke chapter 7, verse 13, he had compassion on her, and said to her, do not weep. The parable of the Good Samaritan, almost everybody knows that one. What does Jesus say about the Samaritan? Luke 10, 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed to where he was, he came and he saw the man, and he had compassion on him. He didn't save the world, but he had compassion on the person in front of him. Another famous parable, the parable of the prodigal son, which is really about the father. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. The son has gone away for a long time. The father doesn't know whether he's dead or alive. Luke 15, verse 20. The son arose and came to his father, but while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion on him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Compassion is a mark of a follower of Jesus Christ, because someone who follows Christ recognizes that God has had compassion. God has compassion on us and forgives us and continues to walk with us, and he never gives up on us. And so when we recognize that, that's why we confess our sins every week. When we live in that, it changes our hearts to be moved with compassion for other people. And it comes from the inside instead of having a list and just painting our fruit. Okay, back to the story. So we don't want to pretend, right? We don't want to be like the Pharisees who go, okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? Okay, now I visited two sick people and one person in prison. Oh, shoot, I got to go find a thirsty person. Are you thirsty? We don't do that. We use this parable, we use it reflectively, but we use it to help us understand what's going on inside of us. So how do you grow in compassion? How do you learn to suffer with others? There's two different ways. One way is to go do it, but it's not pretending. It's not fake it till you make it. It's realizing that part of the reason maybe you don't have compassion is you've never exposed yourself to people who need your compassion. Maybe you've never gone to the wrong side of town, handed out a food bag, or never been to a soup kitchen, or never talked to people who are in real need that they didn't create for themselves. Or maybe they did, but who cares? They're still in real need. Maybe what you need is to expose yourself to the part of life that those of us who live in the middle-class suburbs, the best place in the world to live, or at least the easiest, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to backtrack on all that. I'm just going to say those of us who live in the middle-class suburbs don't get exposed to a lot of this stuff unless we take the initiative to get exposed to it. And so maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe what you need to do is to go out and do it because you know that your heart needs that. That's one thing. That's the sort of external. The internal way to build compassion is contemplative. It's about observing, thinking about, learning about, letting it soak in your heart, the love that the Father has for you. Because that's the first step. The Father loves you. God loves you. And you're like, oh, that is really good news. And then as you're thinking, you go, but God loves the other person just as much. I am God's son. The homeless person on Colonial is God's son. What does that make us? If we both have, if I'm God's son and he's God's son, we both have the same father, what does that make us? Thank you. It makes us brothers. So think. That's the inner heart part. Think. There's you and your relationship with God, and God has that same relationship with everybody else. So it doesn't actually matter who you encounter, because every one of those people is a dearly beloved creation of God for whom he desires nothing but the best. So the person who turns your stuff, the most vile person in the world is your brother, is your sister. And as you contemplate that, as you come to that realization, their suffering begins to move you in new ways, because all of a sudden, it's family, it's suffering. Now, just to get practical for a moment, we live in a world where pictures are everywhere, all that stuff. So this is not a guilt thing, okay? This is not a guilt sermon. I started out in the beginning saying this isn't a get it in here, knucklehead sermon. This is just a chance to reflect for yourself if God's love for you and all the others in the world is doing its work on your heart, so that the life you live is an open, generous, compassionate life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have had compassion on us in the extreme. You sent your son to live and die and rise again, to reconcile us to yourself, so that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are counting nothing against us, that you are not the judge with your little docket. You are father, like the prodigal son, waiting for us to come home and throwing your arms out in compassion and joy every time we return to you. So when we look at this parable, help us return to you. Help us to reflect on our lives, to reflect on the condition of our hearts toward others, and let your compassion dwell more and more deeply in our hearts as we go our way today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew's going to come up and play a song. I'm going to go wash my hands. And I want to give you some things to think about. You can bring the offerings and prayer cards up here. Everything can go in the plates, except if you like your prayer prayed for, just put it right there on the altar, and that would help me stay organized. So some things to think about Matthew sings a song for us. One is, where do you see yourself in this parable? Number two is, do you think you need to spend more time contemplating, or maybe doing it, getting yourself exposed to people who are quite different than you, in quite a different situation than you? And number three is a great question to ask yourself anytime you are exposed to the Word of God. Now, what are you going to do?
Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Journey of Life Church in Orlando, Florida. Visit us on the internet at journeyoflife.org.